Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Built Like This podcast. I'm your host, Maxine, on episode 294. Hello, 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 hello. Hi, I hope you're doing well. I'm doing well. And I want to start off about, you know, I think sometimes we get in like these struggle seasons and we think there's no hope, there's no light at the end of the tunnel. But as for someone who's working two jobs currently, who is literally working every day of the week, I feel hopeful. I feel like I am working to create the life that I want for myself. And my struggle season is almost over. Let's just say that. I have faith, I have hope, and I have grit. And I'm just really proud of myself, honestly. I feel like I've been just in a funky mindset in recent years, or probably like my whole life, but feeling like, you know, there's no other hope. This just is what it is. But after a while, once you keep on trying to figure things out, eventually you figure it out. And here I am figuring it out. So anyway, I say all this to say, wherever you are in your life, if you are in a struggle season, and struggle season just means if you are struggling financially, emotionally, mentally, whatever it is. But for me, it's just been like financially. I try to extend hope as best as I can so that I can feel hopeful. And I think things are picking up for me. So my struggle season is almost over. And it's really what I'm naming this season for myself is my coin season, is my rich bitch season. It's my setting myself up for success season. So that's what I'm doing. So every day when I'm waking up to go to work, literally every, you know, people say, oh, I go to work every day. No. I go to work every day. So every day when I wake up to go to work, I'm saying that to myself. This is my rich bitch season. You know, every time I log in and record an episode for you all, I love what I do as far as, you know, like what I do like 9 to 5 and what I do on my podcast. Like, I love having this podcast. This is my rich bitch season. So I'm planting seeds, I'm watering them, I'm nurturing them. There's a whole garden metaphorically. All of this to say, I believe that there is fruit coming out of the seed. There's fruit being manifested from the seeds. So rich bitch season. If you are in your rich bitch season, if you are working towards your rich bitch season, I salute you. I am here with you and all is well. You know, you'll find your moments of sigh, of needing a nap, or, you know, wanting to just like, I'm done. I don't want to go in today. I want to take a day off. Just remember, you are planting the seeds for your rich bitch season. So anyway, there we have it. Okay, so I want to start off with talking about Beyonce. Skip. Come on, Skip. Well, that's another topic. Let me write that down. I forgot to write that down earlier. So Beyonce is the first one we're going to get into. And then we'll get into Monique's son, talking about her, her parenting or lack thereof, as well as Shannon Sharp responding to alleged rumors. Well, rumors of him allegedly being bisexual or gay all together. Because I don't think he's ever been married. And ever since he's had these guests on his show, specifically comedians coming on the show, letting out their grievances, now there's been some smoke going towards Shannon Sharp for even allowing such a platform to have these guests come on. So that's pretty interesting. So Mike X called him a little sissy boy. Anyway, let's talk about Beyonce first. So Beyonce came out with a hair care line called Sacred. And it's spelled differently, of course, because why not? It's spelled C-E-C-R-E-D. And yeah, I'm assuming it's pronounced sacred. So anyway, it is a new hair care line, and she gives the commercial or just a trailer of it talking about how, you know, there's wisdom in our hair. And I'm assuming she's focusing this line on Black women or other and other women of color, because what wisdom is in white people's hair? That's one. But anyway, she is coming out with this line. She's inspired by her mother because her mother was a hairstylist while Beyoncé was younger. And if you are a big time Beyoncé fan, you know, when she was in Destiny's Child, she talked a lot about how she used to perform, as well as her bandmates would perform at the hair salon owned by her mother, and they would perform for the women there getting their hair done. And that was their second home, essentially. That was where they really understood what it means to perform at a young age and put together a show and receive feedback. So Beyoncé knows what a hair salon is, particularly a Black hair salon. Now, this is her first hair care line. And though I feel like this is well-intended, as far as she is doing this from the bottom of her heart, she really believes in the wisdom in our hair. So she actually says here in her Instagram post, "How many of y'all knew my first job was sweeping hair in my mama's salon? Destiny's Child got our start by performing for clients while they were getting their hair done. I was exposed to so many different kinds of entrepreneurial women in her salon. I saw firsthand how the ways we nurture and celebrate hair can directly impact our souls. I watched her heal and be of service to so many women. Having learned so much on my hair journey, I've always dreamed of carrying on her legacy. I can't wait for you to experience what I've been creating." Look, this is sweet. I think it's sweet. I think it's, again, well intended. Will I be purchasing hair care products from Beyoncé? No. Just like I won't be doing it from Taraji P. Henson, from Tracee Ellis Ross. No. It honestly took me so long to finally purchase a makeup product from Rihanna's line. And here's why. I just don't buy that these top singers, these top musicians know a thing about what my hair needs or know a thing about what works best for my skin. Now, obviously, they're working with a team and it's really not them creating the products, yada, yada, yada. Sure. But I think it's actually, dare I say, insulting for the actual products that were brought in, you know, that was brought up and put together and packaged by people who know what they're talking about. It's one thing to have a love for hair and have a love for skin, but do you really know what you're talking about? Like, can I count on Beyoncé's hair care line to support my kinky Afro hair? No, I can't. And just because your mother was a hairstylist doesn't mean now I'm supposed to trust your hair care line. And now, when I think about Tracee Ellis Ross, sure, she's someone who has thick hair, dare I say Afro, but still, I'm very particular about who I trust with sensitive products, whether it's for my hair or for my skin. And I just don't, I'm just not convinced. It's not something that I feel like, I don't think, when I think of Beyonce, I don't think of hair. I don't think of natural hair. I don't think of hair that works for my Afro kinky hair. I think of weaves. I think of wigs. I think of her platinum blonde hair that she's wearing now. What is going on? Now, if you are under a rock, you may not have realized that she released two country singles, one called 16 Carriages and one called Texas Hold'em. I love them both. I know I'm like giving, you know, semi-negative and then positive takes about Beyonce here, but this is just my real thought. But I really do enjoy both of those singles so far. I've been playing them since they came out. And shout out to Usher, because I felt like she came out with those songs and the hype around them very inconveniently to Usher's grand performance at the Super Bowl. This was Usher's Super Bowl. So I kind of felt bad that she took that shine away from him once he finished performing. She just said, hey, I'm dropping a country album, or we could assume it's a country album based on the two singles that's been released. Anyway, it's a really good song. I say all this to say, ever since, it wasn't too long ago, I think the start of this year, ever since she came out with her platinum blonde hair, dare I say, who's daring you? What are you doing? Sorry, it's my dog. Okay, so dare I say, white hair, she's been looking just a little different to me. For many years, there's been some conspiracy that Beyonce lightened her skin. And what people will say in defense of that is, no, it's just the lighting. No, it's just the photography. It's just the camera. It's just the makeup. But, and I never really paid attention to that. I never really gave that too much of any importance. But lately, since she has come forward with her blonde, and it's not even blonde because she's had blonde hair for many, many years. She's come forward with very platinum hair. Like, let me pull up an image of her recently. Let's pull up from how she looked at the Grammys. No, you know, let me just pull up her Instagram, because there are some pictures of her. And it just makes me wonder, what's going on? Like, what is she trying to give us here? Is it apropos to the country album that she is releasing? Because, oh, country, you immediately think a white woman. You know, so ever since this moment right here. So ever since she released her Renaissance film in theaters, this has been her hair. Now, at first, I gave her an excuse, or I gave her some defense about it because, oh, you know, Renaissance, her theme was to wear silver. And that was her consistent theme, throughout her tour. She encouraged everyone who attended to wear silver in their clothing. So this wasn't too bad, because I just thought, oh, well, her hair is just silver. It matches her look. But we could clearly see it's a very, very platinum. Look at this right here. This is a very platinum blonde, dare I say gray, type of aesthetic in her hair. Beautiful. She is still beautiful. I'm not taking this away from her, but it just looks a little interesting, you know? Now, how's her real hair underneath taking this? Is her hair in good condition? You know what I mean? Like, when I think of Beyonce, I don't think of hair that I idolize and want to look like. So This is her again. She's making fun of the fact that people accuse her of looking like a white woman or wanting to be a white woman. So she decides to post this image of her wearing all white, and the hood is in her. The hood is, she's wearing her hood as she is still rocking her very, very blonde, dare I say, white hair. But you could even say, just with her complexion, maybe again, it is just the lighting and it's not necessarily intended to be white passing. But why? Why is it so much lighter than what we're used to? See, people are saying, why are you bleaching your skin? Who's the white girl in all these pics? Your values are so confusing. She is white. Yonsei, poor you. Always wanted to be a white girl. Oh my God. Like, what's happening here? And if you're following on the YouTube, you are seeing the images. So if you are just listening, make sure you check the YouTube video out so you can see what I'm talking about. And make sure you are subscribed. Thank you so much. So yes, we see a very blonde woman here. So now she releases this country single, two country singles, and it's quite interesting. Like, it does make me wonder what her intentions are, what she's trying to prove. And I don't know. Oh, I don't know. So look at her right here. We're at the Grammys. Her hair is not even blonde, y'all. It's a gray color. So anyway, the conspiracy is she is doing everything possible to win Album of the Year next Grammy. So her intention is to look like a white woman and to release a country album. That's the conspiracy. Do I believe it? Maybe. It's looking like it could be the case here, because let's just wait and see. And I'm just here for the entertainment, y'all. Is this not all a stage? But yeah, I'm here for it, though. I'm here for her country album. That's what I mean by here for it. I'm not here for her turning into a white woman. But I'm here for the country album. And if you are a longtime Beyonce fan, you know that Beyonce has been released songs that were country-ish. So there's this song called Daddy's Lessons, right? Let me make sure I get it right. That's another great Beyonce song that came out in, yeah, Daddy Lessons. That came out in the, what album was that in? Is it Lemonade? I think that's in Lemonade. Let me make sure. Daddy Lessons. Yeah, Lemonade. I'm right. And that song was so good that she actually performed it at the Country Music Awards alongside Dixie Chicks. But I don't think they're called Dixie Chicks anymore. And you know, Dixie Chicks had a very interesting reception because they were quote unquote canceled before cancel was a thing because of their political stance. They made their voices heard of their disdain for the president at the time, which I think was Bush. So, but anyway, there we go. I was right. Look at me knowing my history. Okay, yeah. So at a concert in London, during their Top of the World tour, the lead singer, Natalie Maines, she's the one who is shorter. She's the shortest out of all of them. When she's the lead singer, she's the one always in the middle. She said that the Dixie Chicks were ashamed to be from Texas, the same state as Bush, and that they did not support the imminent invasion of Iraq. So that was a very, very big deal. That was a very big deal because how dare they, you know, they had such a huge platform at the time and won so many awards, had so many accolades, and was mainstream successful and successful in their own right, naturally, but they really got mainstream success. So them to come forward and be as political as they was and not stand on the side of the propaganda that was pushed for us to support, that cost them their careers, basically. So since then, they've been struggling. So yeah, they dropped the chicks. That's what it is. Yeah, so they dropped the chicks in their name. And now, no, they dropped the Dixie. Sorry. They're now called the Chicks, which is interesting. But yeah, so they were canceled in 03 for criticizing George W. Bush's Iraq War. And they are now coming back. And they've been back. I think Beyonce kind of helped them with that. So shout out to Beyonce for doing such a grand gesture. But yeah, they performed together at the Country Music Awards a few years ago, and that was a great performance. Like, I don't know. Back to the hair care line, I probably won't, you know, get a sacred anything, but shout out to Beyonce. I'm here for her when it comes to her music, even some films, but ultimately it's her music for me. It's her music, it's her tour, it's her performances, but I don't look to her for hair. Let's move forward. Okay. Monique's son decided to come forward and share his gripe against his mother for how poor of a job she did in raising him. And he says that his mother doesn't care about being his mother. Basically, she disowned him. And he's just been in that reality. And it's pretty unfortunate, but let me go ahead and play some of this clip here. I wonder how old he is. He looks like a young man, but you know, black don't crack. So I really can't tell. But he has to be at least in his 30s, at least. But let me go ahead and play this clip and then we'll get into it.
Hi. I am Shalon. I am a stand-up comedian, Monique's oldest son. I guess I felt the need to make this video to just provide some context into this false narrative about her praying to the universe in order to reconcile our relationship or whatever the hell it is. I wrote it all down so that way I don't go all over the place and get emotional or anything like that. So I'm going to talk like I'm reading a script, but it's just going to help me kind of stay together. To address the Club Cheche interview that she did, where she states that she prays to the universe in regards to reconciling our relationship, as I stated, is odd. My mother and I both know that that is a very false narrative, and I would like to free her of having to continue telling that lie.
You know what's interesting about this? He speaks just like her. He speaks just like her. You know how he says, I like to free her from this false narrative. Monique will say the same thing. Monique has spoken in such a manner similar to this. And when she's talking about Oprah, Tyler Perry, you know, Oprah, I want to call you to the carpet because as a black woman, I want you to free me from this narrative of being angry. And you know what I mean? Like, she'll speak in this way, just like he's doing right now. So I just think that's so ironic. He is his mother's son.
Faith without work is dead, and neither one of us put forth any effort to reconcile with the other. We are separate, as she put it, because she doesn't care to be my mother any more than I care to be her son. Neither one of us has had the desire to reach out to the other in a very long time.
So there we have it. He says that neither one of them has had the desire to reach out to the other. Neither one of them has cared to put an effort to reconcile and really put forth a healthy mother and son relationship. And I do remember Monique mentioning in her interview with Club Shay Shay that her and her oldest son are estranged. And she said it in a way that was very, not necessarily sad. Like, she said it in a way that's like, yeah, I mean, it is what it is. You know, because at the time, I don't know if Monique had him young, but she talked about him in a way to say, because she was starting off in her career, she really did not spend much time with her eldest son. She did not give much energy to that relationship. And there we have it. So it's pretty sad because we actually know, well, I know that she has other kids. She actually has twin boys outside of this eldest child. So I wonder what his relationship like with those kids, with his siblings. Well, let me see if I could this clip real quick and see exactly what she said. Looks like the clip is not showing. Okay, anyway, the point is, despite what Monique said on Club Shay Shay, she made it seem like, yes, we don't have a good relationship, or we're not close, we're strange, and I desire for us to have a better relationship. Despite that, it didn't come off genuine because his son could tell you very straightforward that this has not been effort forth by her at all at any point in recent years or however long it's been, nor has it been put in effort for him either. So at this point, you know, they're both, well, he's an adult at this point. She's been the adult in the relationship, but he's an adult also. And I do wonder exactly what took place or how much of a disrespect, like how much did disrespect play into their relationship? It seems like with Monique though, she is someone who, she's good with the cutoff. Like, she will cut you off. Clearly she's cut her whole family off, and it's unfortunate to say the least. It's unfortunate, but some people are just no tolerance, regardless of who you are, regardless of our relation. I will cut you off. That seems to be Monique's mindset and attitude when it comes to relationships. So we see here with her son, he obviously was cut off. Not on some financial point. I don't know about that necessarily, but on the point of, she's never been my mother. She's never taken care of me. She's never been there. She's never showed she cared, and yada, yada, yada. I mean, the list goes on and on. But I, you know, God bless. Let's see what else he has to say here. It's all sad, I would say, because, you know, to have a son say that, or any child, is just pretty unfortunate.
I don't think that either of us anticipates that feeling ever returning. Speaking with my mother directly, in my experience, will either lead to some odd newfound moment of clarity, or she retreats back to daddy to move forward with the conversation. And I'm tired of hearing my mother's truth.
Okay, so now he's being shady. She'll refer back to daddy. You know what he's trying to say. He's not saying in a sense of his dad. He's referring to Monique speaking to her husband or referring to her husband as daddy. That's what she's saying. That's what he's saying here. And, you know, my truth. You know, Monique always uses that verbiage, my truth. The whole daddy thing is very interesting. Look, to each their own in their romantic relationships. I do find it to be a little odd. I don't find myself ever calling my man daddy because, nigga, what the fuck? Did I come from your balls? It's weird. Well, here's what I can say, though. I do appreciate how much she stands in that. I like that. She's like, yeah, I call him daddy and what? I like that she really respects him as her husband. I like that she knows her place as a woman, as a wife should. And I'm saying this as an intelligent woman. I'm not saying this in a way to pick me. Shut, I have to say that dumb shit. Oh, you just a pick me. Shut up. It's stupid and it's lazy. Ultimately, we all have places. We all have positions that we play. And if you keep on trying to play the position of a husband while you're the wife, it's disorder. There's disorder. It's not going to last. So I like the fact that she is in her marriage and she plays according to her role and he plays according to his role. It's a yin and a yang. Is that you got to do that. It's a little dance, little shimmy. Nothing wrong with that. But there's a lot of these feminists are out here raging, so mad that she has daddy as her manager. And if only she got rid of daddy, then Monique will be free and she will have a better career, as if daddy doesn't care about it. Like, shut up. Y'all are so miserable. It's insane. You have a woman who is happy in a marriage that works for her. The dynamics of the marriage works for her. And I actually believe it's a natural way of a man and a woman in a marriage, in a relationship, in a partnership that's romantic. I think it's a natural order. And I've been saying here on this podcast, when you stem away from the natural order of things, it will fall. It will falter. There are errors and it won't succeed. I don't care how much you try to rebel against naturalness. It's not going to work. It's not. So for them, they've also had an open marriage for quite some time. I remember her talking about that. And that worked for them for some time. And they decided, you know, they have their dynamic. And it makes me cringe when I see these feminist women come on YouTube talking about, if only she got out now, how dare she have her man? Her husband has her manager and he needs to get his own job. And what? Are we in a partnership? Because ultimately, even if he wasn't her manager, like by the books and, you know, got a cut, you know, X, Y, and Z, he would still be her manager as her husband, because that's the natural order of things. Yeah, she's an autonomous woman and she could, don't mishear what I'm saying. Ultimately, when you are in a respectful relationship, albeit a marriage, you are submitting to the order of your husband under the impression that he is able to lead, under the impression that he's able to guide you and not let you get in the driver's seat and drive a car while intoxicated, Tiffany Haddish. And I think she very much deserved that stray. That stray that Monique gave her, because Tiffany Haddish wanted to slight Monique, talking about, oh, I don't do business like Monique. You know, I don't have my man or calling him daddy and like trying to just slight her. And it's like, well, at least Monique doesn't have two DUIs within a year of each other. Like, please, please calm yourself, Missy. This whole feminist, I could do it by my, obviously you can't do it by yourself. As a single woman, as a woman who's unmarried, as a woman who need no man, you're failing. You're failing in life. It's not working out. Go get you a man. Have him drill some order in your life. Order! Because it's not working. You're not working out. It's not working out, Tiffany. So shout out to Monique. Call your man daddy. Now, again, my man, I'll do that. I'll baby you up all the time. And baby's kind of like, okay, I do a baby. Daddy. Especially when the way daddy was introduced to us outside the context of a dad and a daughter, biological, or even just like step-parent at least, at most. It was introduced in a sexual connotation, right? If he's hitting you from behind, he's gonna smack your ass and say, what, call me your daddy? No, I'm not. Now what? And get your dick off of me. Daddy, if you don't get your dick. Now skip. Skip. Now skip. But yeah, I know. But yeah, no. Is that just like a, I feel like that's been a Boston thing, like a up north thing. Where we'll say yeah and no. I know New Yorkers do it too, but I definitely don't, you know, growing up in Boston. Yeah. But yeah, no. It's gonna be a no for me, dog. It's gonna be a no for me, daddy. Okay, so yeah, so Monique's son is not here for her, and it's pretty unfortunate. I wish them the best. That must be a hit. That must be a hit to your soul, to your spirit. But I think, again, Monique seems like the type of person who is quick to cut a nigga off. You could be a dad. You could be a brother. You could be a son, a husband. And she is quick to say, yeah, it's going to be a no for me, dog. It's going to be a no for me. So Shannon Sharp decided to respond fairly quickly to some allegations of him being a sissy boy. Now skip, you know I don't suck no dick, skip. Skip, you know I don't suck no dick, skip. Skip is gonna be me and you, skip. So, I'm going to play this clip of a joke that that Mike Epps said of Shannon Sharp. And it was captured by an audience member who, of course, filmed a set or this bit of Mike Epps and decided to post it on the tube. So Mike Epps has said since Cat Williams' interview on Club Shay Shay that he wanted to get some exposure. Like, dang, how come Cat didn't mention my name? Can I get mentioned here at least? Can, you know, just mention my name, yada, yada, yada. So he is obviously looking for some clout. He's looking for some attention, some exposure. So this is his opportune time to do so.
That nigga Sandy Sharp called me trying to do an interview. I said, no, Madea, I ain't doing no interview. So you can sit across from me and look at my balls. I'm sitting down, nigga. I thought he was going to attack Cat, that nigga there.
Okay, so clearly he is assuming Shannon Sharp to be this chatty patty. He is claiming that he is a Madea type of figure. All you need to put a wig on, and there you go. There you have it, Madea. Madea Shannon.
Nigga shit is called Shay Shay. The nigga's telling you. Put a wig on that nigga. Tell me if that ain't motherfucking Madea's sister, nigga.
No, that's kind of funny, though.
They exposing every motherfucking body. They got TD Jakes fucked up. Now that's fucked up.
All right. So there we have that. Shannon Sharp, of course, is not too pleased with this allegation or this defamation to his character. You know, why should he be seen as a bisexual or homosexual man just because he decides to call himself Shay Shay? The joke writes itself, right? The joke writes itself. So he comes forward and he has a podcast with Chad Ochocinco. Now, here's the thing with that podcast. I find it to be so annoying because you have two men, just their face is just right on the lens of the camera. Just like it's zoomed in. Now I'm wondering, am I zoomed in too? I'm trying to get my whole camera set, but you know, in due time. So we're sticking to this setup and I'm fine with it. But in due time, it'll be even better. But yeah, when I look at Chad Ochocinco and Shannon Sharp's podcast together, I find it to be so annoying because they have strong faces, as men would. You know, that is in alignment with their testosterone. Men typically have big noses. My dad has a big nose. Men typically have big ears. Like, my dad has a big nose. I get my big nose from him. Shout out to big noses. But yeah, anyway, so let me go ahead and play this clip, which is of his response to Mike Epps. And like I said, he is not pleased.
So, and I said, Mike, you tell me the fun in it for me that you can lie on my name. Mm-hmm. I said, and guys out there, if I said your wife has been flushed more than a stadium bathroom, you gonna be cool with that?
Ooh.
Hell no. Nah.
And out. So Shannon Sharp is claiming that Mike Epps' wife, now Mike Epps recently got married to a woman who is half his age. No judgment for me, but I'm just making that known. No judgment for me. I'm in favor of older men with younger women or younger women with older men. Order. It's the order. It's the natural order of things. I promise you. the way I sometimes sound, I really, I know how I sound, but I feel like if you are really listening to me, you'll agree with what I'm saying. But yeah, I'm in favor of, I'm not talking about kids with older men. I'm not, you know, I'm not talking about underage stuff. I'm talking about you are of age, well of age. So like in your mid-20s, find an older man and find some order in your life. Find an older man and find some guidance in your life. Yes, you should find a reflection of your father. there's something wrong with, like, that is what, that's really the natural order of things. If you think about back in, like, in the biblical days, you find a man who can not even just support you, right, and provide, but who could guide, who could lead, who could be a man. And knowing how biologically women, we tend to be more mature than men starting at a young age, but then eventually that grows out. So in order to meet that maturity or to be grown and to be taught, is best matched with an older man. I'm just saying. Hands up, don't shoot. Come on. 15 years old. That's it. 15 years or older. That should be the title of this episode. 15 years or older. Yeah, if you like what I'm saying, like this video. Like this video. Tell me what you think. Also, leave a positive message, positive review on the tube, as well as Spotify and Apple Podcasts. Okay, let me get back to what I was saying. So, let me continue with this.
Are you not? If I say things about you, if you got a child that's slow, and I made jokes about that, you okay with that? No. So why should I be okay? It's just jokes. And I told him this. I said, what I'm starting to see is that jealousy, hate, and envy is being disguised in jokes.
Mm.
I said, that's what I'm seeing. Oh, it's just a joke. He a comedian. I ain't never hear him call nobody else that. I ain't never hear him say anything else about that. I ain't hear him lie on nobody else's name. Why me? I met Mike in Whole Foods over a decade ago. We had a conversation in Whole Foods about 10 minutes. We exchanged information. The next time I heard from Mike Epps, he had DM'd me about coming on Club Shay Shay. That was it.
So that's truly where it starts from. Mike Epps alleges that Club Shay Shay, that Shannon Sharp was trying to get him on the show, that he was trying to persuade him to come on the show and have, you know, an interview with him, just as he did with all the other comedians that he's had on so far. So Mike Epps' response was absolutely not. And basically what you heard from the clip that I shared a moment ago. Shannon Sharp is saying, I did not DM you first. We did not have a conversation about me wanting you on. You, in fact, came to me and requested to be on. Who's to know what took place? I truly don't care. I just think it's funny. Now skip. Now let's go ahead and play Mike Epps' response to this.
Man, wait a minute. Now I know Shay Shay. I don't know what grown ass man got a name, baby Shay Shay, but I know this grown man is not mad at me. So many people talk crazy about you. They was on Saturday Night Live talking about you, imitating you, but now you want to fight me? Now, I'm not going to lie. I did DM you to get on the show.
Oh, okay.
But I DM'd you to get on the show because you brought my name up when you were sitting there with Kat, and you was trying to get him to talk crazy about me, but he didn't. Okay? Now, second of all, talking about pulling up on me. You're going to be an all-star. I'm going to be at the all-star in my hometown. And I'm going to see you.
Not a fight.
All right. I'm going to see you, brother.
But okay, look. I understand men have testosterone. And they have to keep building stuff. Like, they got to build houses. They got to build bridges. It's the testosterone in them. But I feel like at a certain age, are men still fighting? Like physically fighting, getting in brawls? Are men still fighting? 45 and older, are y'all still fighting? I know you're the majority of my listeners, so please respond and let me know, are you still fighting? When's the last time you gotten in a fight, a physical altercation? Is that okay? Like, isn't your knee, I don't know. Let me stop. Shout out to my 15 year older man out here. Woo! Keep it up. So Mike Epps is saying, look, you could come see me. Come see me then. I'ma be here in Idaho. You the hoe. My wife's a hoe. We hoes. Am I okay? Now skip. Now Mike, you know I didn't hit you up, Mike. Now Mike, it's like he talks with the size of his tongue pinched and his tongue hanging out. Okay, let's move forward. So I've been watching this guy on YouTube, this white guy on YouTube, who, before I even tell you this, y'all, let me tell you something about me. If I'm being entertained, I do not care about no PC shit. If I am being entertained, if you're making me laugh, if you're making me wonder, if you're making me be curious, if you're making me be in awe, I do not care your lack of PC in your rhetoric. I do not care. You could be the most politically incorrect person. Now, obviously, you should know this about me. This podcast is built on being politically incorrect. Incorrect with a quotation mark. So I say all this to say, I've been watching this guy named Red Bar on YouTube, and call me late because he's been around for a while, apparently. He is a white guy who says, nigga this and that. He says nigga like it's his last name. And at first, when I saw that first clip, or when I watched a video, the first video of his that I watched, and he was impersonating a black person and like had this whole dialect and included nigga in his impersonation, I was like, nigga what? Nigga who? And it was so good. The way he it felt like he studied black people. Like he knew how to say it. He didn't say it with the ER type, you know, the twang, the typical racist way to say it. There's racist ways to say it, right? But he said it as a nigga, as a black man would. And I was just so taken aback. And you know what I did? I kept watching. I'm on his 14th video. And apparently, I don't think he's actually on YouTube, but there are fans of his who upload his content. So they're shortened clips that are technically short because his episodes are actually hours long. He filmed episodes for a good 8 hours, but I think he releases them like once a month type of thing. So he gets all of his shit off in those 8 hours. And you'll find that on his website. Look at me promoting him. Look at this nigga bitch promoting this man. So he says nigga not every second, but it's not random. I mean, sure, it may not be apropos, but it's not random. It's all in relation to what he's saying and to whatever the topic is. Anyway, I say all this to say I am so tuned in. I'm so locked in because he is so interesting. He's so entertaining. So shout out to Red Bar. But basically, yeah, his content is basically hate watch. there is an avenue for watching something and hating on it every episode after episode. Like, there's no love for any of the shows that he watched, for any of the, and it's not even shows I'm talking about. I'm talking about podcasts. He focuses on different podcasts and different topics too, like pop culture topics. Like, he recently was talking about Diddy and the allegations against him regarding Cassie. But yeah, he is known for, Red Bar is known for talking about all of these white comedians, Joe Rogan, Burt, Tom Segura, Andy Hinchcliffe, like all of them. He just goes in on them. He ridicules everything that they do. He goes bit by bit in an episode, and it's just so interesting. Shout out to Red Bar. He goes that nigga all the time. I am not offended. But yeah, I try to take words seriously like that. Like, the words that we're supposed to, quote unquote, be mad at, I don't let them dictate my mood. I dictate my mood. So if I'm choosing to be mad at something, then that's me choosing to be mad at it. But if you're telling me to be mad at something because this is the appropriate response according to our society, then I am choosing to not be mad at it. Like, I am purposely rebelling as an Aquarius would. So yeah, shout out to him. Okay, so I didn't even get to the topics that I have listed. So shout out to that. But I think I'm ready to lock it out. Thank you for tuning in. I'm sorry for the delay. But here we are. The Tuesday episode is out, is here. You're listening to it right now. If you've enjoyed this, make sure you have liked the button on YouTube and you click the notification button. And you are also subscribed on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. And please leave a positive review. I greatly appreciate it. I will check in with you all next time. Peace.